SEC is under the microscope.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The Securities and Exchange Commission says stepped-up enforcement efforts will continue. The SEC's gotten some good public marks for going after alleged impropriety at Goldman Sachs. But a lot of folks are poo-pooing the fact that it failed to spot the accounting tricks at Lehman Brothers before that bank went under. Marketplace's Gregory Warner is with us live this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Steve.
So how exactly is the SEC going to grow new teeth, if you will?
Well, the agency says it's going to do a bunch of things. But first, it's going to try to stop the practice of hiding debt. This is what got Lehman Brothers in trouble in 2008. They used accounting tricks to slide debt off the balance sheets just when it came time to release their quarterly report. Apparently, though, the art of hiding debt isn't limited to Lehman. Lots of banks do some version of it. So Mary Shapiro, the chairwoman of the SEC, told the congressional panel the SEC sent a letter to 19 of the largest banks asking this question.
What has been their average debt balances over the period so that we don't just have them dress up the balance sheet for quarter end?
All right. So, Gregory, let's say the banks answer that letter and say, all right, you got us. We're dressing up our balance sheets. Then what?
Well, the SEC says they'll make that information public. That's the first thing, because that's what they're accused of with Lehman, is not letting the public know. So shareholders didn't really know what was going on inside Lehman until it was too late. The agency is also, though, considering new disclosure rules. So if a firm uses some transaction at the end of the quarter to reduce debt in a major way, they'd have to let people know. Market. So investors would have a better sense of just how much debt a firm is carrying.
All right. Marketplace's Gregory Warner reporting live for us. Gregory, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
As Congress continues debate on financial regulations in this country, the idea of an American bank tax could fuel a political fight. But an International Monetary Fund plan for a couple of global taxes is also in the cards. From London, Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The banks are not going to like this. The IMF plan is for two worldwide taxes to curb the banks' risky behavior and to fund any future bailouts. The first tax would take a slice of profits and pay. Banks that dole out big bonuses would be hardest hit. The other tax would raise a reserve so governments are ready for the next crash. But economist Avi Perceau is not convinced this is the way to go.
The best defense for taxpayers is not these taxes, but proper financial regulation that stops crashes happening in the first place.
Nevertheless, he says, when the G20 finance ministers study the plan at their meeting in Washington this week, they'll probably go for it. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Greece began talks today with the IMF and European Union to help that nation find a way out of its debt crisis. Borrowing costs there are at a 12-year high. European shares are lower, however, at the moment. Apple said yesterday iPhone sales helped net income shoot up 90%, and Yahoo's earnings tripled the first 3 months of the year. Asian markets liked that news. The Nikkei added about 1.5%. Here at home yesterday, stocks ticked higher across the board. The Dow gained about 25 points to end the day at 11,117. And oil is above 84 bucks a barrel.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Citrix, offering GoToMyPC, allowing users to work from anywhere via the web. More at gotomypc.com/market. By Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com.
Cash for Clunkers was a big hit in this country last year. The aim of the government's stimulus program was to boost auto sales. Various European countries had their own versions, and about a month ago, Russia launched one. Its $3.5 billion program comes just as auto sales there are in a big slump. Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow.
A giant metal claw picks up one of several dozen rusty old Ladas from a parking lot at a car dealership in northern Moscow. Then it dumps it onto the back of a truck. The owner of each car got $1,700 towards the cost of a new Russian-built vehicle under the government's new program. Vladimir Ryabushka is the general director of a branch of Russia's largest auto dealer, Avtomir. He says 40,000 old cars were turned in to be scrapped during the program's first month.
Sure, the program will be a success. It was supposed to run for 9 months, but it's clear the subsidies will end earlier. Within 6 months, the funds allocated by the state will run out.
For the cheapest models, the rebate is a third of the sticker price. Without the government money, car buyer Vladimir Semyonov says he certainly wouldn't be trading up.
I don't have that kind of money to buy a new car, but I can sell my old one to the government for 50,000 rubles and buy a new one.
Mr. Semyonov may have to wait 3 months for the Lada he wants. The manufacturer, car giant Avtovaz, is struggling to crank up production. Last year, it only escaped bankruptcy with state help, so it welcomes the increased demand. As in other countries, boosting car sales is a main goal of the program. But in Russia, disposal of the vehicles may also have another long-term beneficial effect. Vladimir Bespalov covers the transport sector for VTB Capital Investment Bank.
This scrappage program is something new for Russia, and many Russian cars previously just had been thrown away. You could see them on the streets. So the culture of junkyards has not been developed in Russia prior to this program. So if they manage to build these scrappage centers, this will be a good success.
Some say the program is a success already. Avtovaz says it has sold 11,000 cars under the program in the first month alone. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally, the convenience store does a lot of beer selling, so much so that one of the biggest chains is getting into beer making. 7-Eleven says it's going to roll out its private label brew later this month. That'll add to a line of wines it started offering last year. The spokesman says it's premium beer on a budget. Some beer connoisseurs say premium is in the taste buds of the beholder. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. Check us out online at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.